You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Nancy L. Hopkins. In March 2014, Nancy was introduced to a mineral found only in Russia called shungite. Nancy was on a mission to get shungite to the masses. In May 2017, the masses included the bees, as shungite protects against EM Wi-Fi radiation. Her nonprofit corporation, Cosmic Reality Shungite Inc., has been creating shungite products for over 4,000 customers who have provided several hundred personal testimonials. When the bees came into the picture, there was an opportunity to demonstrate shungite's magic by saving the bees. You can find this story at www.shungitebeehives.com. Nancy is an author, radio host, and producer at Cosmic Reality Radio. You can find her on Facebook, and you can find the shungite website at cosmicreality.net. So let's welcome Nancy to the show now. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. Hi, Lance. How are you?
Yeah, we established that before the show, that we were both just okay.
Yeah.
And you were saying, we were getting into the conversation about why that was happening, and we thought there might be other people feeling that. Do you want to take it away?
Yeah, we've got a lot of energy coming off the sun.
And
definitely something that happened Wednesday afternoon.
I see. Have they put the sun shields up yet?
I don't think so. And I think that we got hit with a lot of energy that's causing our bodies to essentially change, causing a detox.
Well, it certainly
so I just want people to know that if you're feeling like crap, it's probably your body's just energetically reorienting or stabilizing, or I don't know what it's doing, but I don't like it. Well, I mean, if it's going to make me better energetically, I'll go through it. But
the going through it is happening right now on live on the radio. So that's just the way it is.
Yep.
That's the fun thing about live radio, is that it's spontaneous, and if you make a mistake or can't think of what you were going to say, it's kind of fun, you know. It's more exciting to. It's like an adventure.
Well, Lance, I think that what we do on radio is incredibly important, because I think that we have to be able to affect the collective consciousness. Doing these radio shows and just talking. At least we're talking and we're thinking and we're making movements in the collective consciousness. And I do a lot of radio. And because I do that and I hear different hosts doing their shows, it's completely stunning how they don't talk to each other, but they start to trend. They start talking about the same subjects. And that's because we get tied in to the collective much more than a lot of people because of what you're saying.
Yes.
We're here going like, oh, what should I say? You know, and you kind of open your mind, and whatever comes in is really what the collective is thinking.
Yes, absolutely. I found that to be very true.
Strange.
So, yes, that's very accurate.
And I think we've made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe that. And, you know, it doesn't seem like there are all that many radio shows out there that are, there probably are more, but it seems like there are less than there were when I was, you know, doing it over the last 11 years. And, maybe I'm just not noticing other radio shows for some reason, but I've noticed yours, And you do a show a day, don't you?
We do 24/7 streaming.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
How in the hell do you do that?
On Saturdays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, we do
live
shows.
Okay.
We basically, again, it's affecting the collective consciousness, and because 50% of our listeners are international.
All right.
You
that's
know,
really cool.
If you give them the ability to hear your shows during the middle of the night, they're there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we work hard to make a difference.
Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about, and there are not many people that I trust to get information from. There are a few, yeah, and but not a lot. And I guess that's part of the discernment that we have to go through in terms of, you know, coming to terms with our own field and figuring out who is telling the truth and who's just full of you-know-what.
Well, you know, it really comes down to there's a whole lot of stories out there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you try to keep up with the stories, and they're fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, whoa, that's really neat. You know, oh, well, you know, but there's stories. Everything is a story.
That's right.
And
that's right.
More.
And you could spend your whole life spinning stories.
Mm-hmm. We tell stories about ourselves, and we make up realities that are ours, you know.
Yep.
And
oh, yeah.
It's just a fascinating kind of thing that's happening because more and more people are becoming awake. And suddenly, I mean, like, I could tell you story after story of what I'm encountering out there. But, you know, whereas people would before look at me and say I was crazy talking about a black mineral from Russia that is a miracle. It's a miracle because, I mean, it's magic. It's just magic. It's got so much energy in it. It does so much that people would, you know, you either felt the energy that I was telling you the truth or you just thought I was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
well, you know, it's funny. People believe in black goo and all kinds of funny things that are not particularly positive constructions. And so I think you're bringing to light something that has the potential to alter our consciousness because it interferes with some of the interference patterns that are intentionally strewn around us that cause us a distress and ill health and dis-ease and things like that. So you want to go back into the little bit about shungite and how it affects the quantum field. I know that it's not the only mineral that does that. I've seen other things talked about, but it seems to be the most popular, and it comes from Russia. How did you discover it?
Basically, when I was writing my book, Cosmic Reality, I came to a aha, got it kind of thing, and I realized that there was actually a sentience of this planet that is like a creator god. A creator consciousness that created everything here. Gaia. I call her Gaia because that was the name that was given to me. I'm kind of writing this out, you know, and I start using this word Gaia, and I did it. I used it three times. I said, what is that word? I don't even know what it is. And so I had to look it up, and I said, oh, well, yes, that's I can understand that. you know, and so I dedicated myself to be in subservient to her needs, not subservient to her, but subservient to her needs.
Right.
I know how screwed up this planet was.
Oh yeah.
So that was back in 2013. Within 4 months, somebody brought me shungite.
Oh.
I already knew about it, but I had kind of blown it off.
Uh-huh.
But then when they brought it to me, I'm going, oh, Gaia, apparently you really want me to pay attention to this. And that's when it began. Yeah, I took one of the pendants that she had brought and put it on my dog, Josie.
Uh-huh.
That honestly was 48 hours from dying. And she lived another 6 months.
Wow.
It pretty good help. You know, I mean, she did die, but she died because she wanted to get out of here. I got another job. Oh, okay.
Places to but, go and people to see.
Right. But I got into it because of the Wi-Fi.
Oh, yes. That's a very big reason for a lot of people. The Wi-Fi can be very, it can really influence our field dramatically.
Well, I was an electronic warfare officer in the 70s for the Army.
Uh-huh.
And I was also the safety officer. So I was, it was all classified information, but I was made aware of the dangers of radar signals and Wi-Fi, microwave.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have Wi-Fi at that time, but we certainly had microwave. And there's a story I could tell you, but it was it dealt with the Russian embassy, and a huge number of people from the embassy were coming down with cancers. So somebody from the State Department called the Army. They were talking to anybody who was a Russian expert, and I was, in order to find out if the Soviets had some weird new fangled weapon. I'm a remote viewer, so when they called me to ask me about it, I just did a remote view of the embassy, and I could see why, well, it was microwave signals all through the building, and I said, get NSA over there and have them look for microwave.
Uh-huh.
And they did, and they can't, thank God the guy came back to me, and he said, he was a colonel, and he came back, and he said, I just want to tell you that they did find this emitter. And I said, how many? And he said, one. I said, there's many more. Go back in there. And that's written up. I mean, it's written up and it's made to look like the Soviets are trying to kill people. It was an intelligence gathering thing. They had no idea of the dangers of what they were doing.
Huh. Wow.
You know, because you can put a Wi-Fi, a microwave signal in a room or Wi-Fi and actually then receive it like a radar. You know, you send it out and then you receive what comes back. And on what comes back is everything that's being said inside the building.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. There was a big brouhaha over it, right?
Oh, yeah. It was real big. Yeah, but the story was the Soviets had this. It wasn't that at all. they were gathering information, and all of a sudden it blew up in their faces. It was a real embarrassment to them. But that's where I learned about the dangers of it, this stuff. And so Facebook started ding, 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 and what is this? And all of a sudden, it had changed. All these people out there had suddenly realized the dangers of Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Were making themselves crazy because it's so scary when you really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, and
what it does to the brain and...
Oh. You know. It's... Everything. Most people, I will go on the record to say that most of the ailments that people have are Wi-Fi induced. If they're not, if you have some natural tendency towards it, this is going to just accelerate any deterioration in your cells. And the reason for it is basically simple. The Wi-Fi energy, the field of energy, is rotating in a way that is not compatible with our cells,
mm-hmm.
any living cell. So it's like you got two tops coming together, and depending on which top is the one that's more powerful, well, it's gonna beat up on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got shungite in the picture, shungite's unique, okay, shungite is unique by itself. It's no place else in the world has shungite. Anybody that tells you you can get it from here, no, it's BS. Okay, the only place is Russia, Karelia. And that's because it was come from out of space and it two and a half billion years ago and smacked into that area. That area shows the earliest vestiges of life on the planet. The oldest indications of life they have found there in that area. So I believe that it's some magical life-giving thing. This is what I believe from the get-go. And that it was given to us by somebody. because it doesn't make any sense that it's just sitting there, been sitting there for billions of years.
Right.
You know, now the people in the area knew about it. But of course, they weren't concerned with Wi-Fi. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was the water.
Not 2.5 billion years ago.
Yeah, the water. The water in the area, the lakes, you just put a pipe in and you start sucking. You don't have, it's purified. It never goes bad.
Wow.
So what you got happening is that you got shungite coming into the picture as a water treatment. I didn't hear that. I heard Wi-Fi. I right after they hit that, this thing on Facebook happened, I said, Gaia, give me something I can give them. And within the hour, I stumble into an article about Russia using shungite to screen against radiation. Of course, Wi-Fi is basically radiation. So I started, I blew it off. And then my friend brought me the thing. My dog got better. But what really made the difference was I didn't have Wi-Fi in the house. And she brought in a Wi-Fi antenna and stuck it there and turned it on. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't handle this energy. I cannot do this. And she looked at me kind of puzzled. She is Reverend Lee Brown, and she's an extreme metaphysician. And she looked at me kind of like, okay. And she took off the ring that she was wearing. And it was a shungite ring. I didn't know what it was.
Oh.
And she walked over to the antenna, and she slid it over the antenna.
Huh.
And as soon as she did it, I said, oh, my God. I said, something just reversed. And that was how we found out what it's really doing.
Well, that's really interesting story.
Yeah. But and it's never disappointed.
Huh.
I mean, we've got different products. It was like, first we started with products that were going to affect the electric systems. And I thought that those were good for the Wi-Fi too. But after a bit, I'm going, something's wrong. We got to look at this again. And so that's when we developed the phone stickers.
We had to get
to a point where we could really affect the Wi-Fi signals, because electric signals are a sine wave, up and down, up and down, up and down. But when you're dealing with the microwave, you're dealing with a square wave. It's a totally different wave. So when you've got regular shungite, you've got it's connecting to the quantum field. I'll explain why in a second. But it pulses on, off, on, off, just regular shungite, okay? But when you take the shungite and you soak it in silver so that it becomes silver-saturated shungite, all of a sudden the door from the quantum opens up and stays open, and you don't have the pulsing. You got a complete and Wi-Fi can't stand up against it. It reverses its spin. Now, how it works with the water is that the same thing's happening. See, it's the fullerene in the shungite, but it goes beyond just the fullerene. The C60, it's so popular, C60. And the C60 looks just like a soccer ball. It has an incredibly unique geometry that is creating 60 doors to the quantum field. Because energy follows geometry. And anytime you've got two signals that are coming in that are exactly the same and they hit each other, they zero it out. They just zero each other out. And at the zero points, the door to the quantum opens. So with the silver saturated, we can keep the door open. And it does things that we couldn't do with just the shungite itself.
Now, is the silver saturated in the stickers?
Yes.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. We're actually doing a bee experiment. Since the last time I talked to you, we got one of the biggest bee suppliers in the United States to do research with us. And it's mason bees. They're tiny little bees. They don't live in a hive. They live by themselves. And they have these little hives. Well, we decided to take the nuggets and make them S4 nuggets so that we could simply push one of these nuggets in there and have a complete S4 environment for the bees. It's going to be very exciting to see what they're doing. One test in Washington and another test in Tennessee, and they're doing a couple of hundred hives. So that's going to be very exciting see if they can confirm what we saw.
Right, that it actually eliminates colony collapse disorder, and then the bees become healthy and they replicate like there's no tomorrow. It's almost like a fertility pill.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Derek Condit put some nuggets, three nuggets, in his beehives. He had two new beehives, the bees were new. He had lost them all over the winter. He threw out everything and started over. So he just got the shungite there, and the shungite was like keeping the bees really healthy. But then he added the powder, and they went into what's called superseeding. And they just kept making queens and babies and queens and babies and honey.
Wow.
You're not supposed to take any honey from a beehive in the first year, because they have to build up a reserve to get them through the winter. So he had to harvest it because there was so much of it.
Oh, my.
It was crazy. He said, I can't even believe this. But he went from 50,000 bees to 1,000,000 bees in 11 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had half the bees, that he was able to recapture. And he went from 2 hives to 8 hives. But there was swarming that they just couldn't keep, they couldn't catch them. And all through the Washington area are these new super shungite bees. But I want people to know that if you're interested in doing bees, and everybody should be really, Derek is going to, in the springtime, raise a bunch of queens. Okay, now these are going to be special queens because they're shungite queens. They've been born and bred with shungite.
Okay.
And if you want queens, he's going to give them to you free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Derek is so dedicated to the bees, he said, I'm not going to charge for these. He said, I can't do that. And I go, all right. So anybody that's interested, pay attention to what we're doing with the bees, because it's really exciting. Because you know what the additional problem is that the biomass of the all the other bugs, okay, it's dropped by 70%.
Huh.
Have you been out and noticed that there's less bugs?
I'm not sure.
Because oddly enough, the only way that they discovered this was somebody was driving in the mountains. And he said to the guy with him, he said, you know, when I used to make this drive, I grew up in this area, we'd always have to get out and get the bugs off of the windshield.
Right.
And he said, there's no bugs on the windshield. Where are they? And that's what started it.
Huh. So what happened to the bugs?
Wi-Fi.
Oh, right. Of course. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then that kind of ties into the 5G network that is being prepared for us in the very near future, which is the Internet of Things. And that's a rather insidious creation in itself.
The 5G, first off, we have 4G working right now. That means fourth generation of a technology.
Mm-hmm.
They call it 5G. It's not it's not the same technology at all. This is built on a project that the U.S. Army had going with, I don't know I can't remember which one it was. But one of the companies that was working on it actually got approval for this microwave crowd suppressor. Okay, which meant that they were shooting microwave at the people in the crowds to get them. You feel like your skin is burning.
That's right. Yes.
Okay, so that's what 5G is.
Ah. That's oh, well, that'll be fun.
It's not for communications. People think, oh, they're going to get faster communications and everything. BS. It's complete mind. It's complete control over the population. Because what happens is that when you have the 5G has all these little antenna systems all over the place, correct? You know the system?
Yes.
Okay, so they put all these little ones around you. Well, that was the problem they had with this particular equipment, is the targeting. They didn't have enough. If you go in with this big piece of machinery and you send out a beam, you don't have the ability to really target like you want. But now they've got these little trucks all over the place. And somebody starts to have a riot, I guarantee those things are going to start burning them.
Oh, sure.
And they can blow out your brain.
Yep.
I mean, we cannot allow this to happen.
Yep.
In my opinion, there's a line in the sand, and if it's allowed to happen, well, kiss your ass goodbye.
And plus, they triangulate the signals. They've got it down to an art, practically, if you could call that art, but a science, let's say, and they triangulate the signals from different spots, and they can intensify it dramatically simply by having these machines placed at the right points, coming together at the point of where they're pointing it. The point of where they're pointing it. Have you got my point?
Yes, I do.
Good. But yeah, it supposedly escalates the effect, you know, I don't know how many thousands of percent, but it really makes it potent. And I think it could even do serious harm to people.
It can kill you.
Right. That's serious harm.
You know, people, oh, thank God they're starting to pay attention to this. There was a study done a lot of times you only hear about it. It was done years ago, but now we're only hearing about it. But at least we're hearing about it now. And this particular study was with microwave ovens. Mm-hmm. Right, the ones everybody's got in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And if you're standing in front of the oven waiting for that, whatever it is in there, you are attacking your heart, and your heart starts to get out of rhythm.
Ooh.
Absolutely proven.
Yeah.
Absolutely proven. And yet still people stand there talking, you know, I mean, and kids and dogs. And,
oh, I know.
I mean, I'm just so freaked out about the fact that people are so ignorant.
Yeah, and they put their faces up to it to look inside.
Yeah. But anybody that's out there still got a microwave, you know, when you turn it on, run.
Right.
Don't walk, run. Get away from it.
And in addition to that, what people don't seem to understand is that the microwaves jumble the natural vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that are within foods, and they literally scramble them, and they destroy most of the nutrients, leaving nothing but just empty food. So if you started with an organic base, and you had, let's say, organic zucchinis in there, and you microwave them, you'd end up with basically, you know, dead flesh.
With nothing in it.
Nothing in it. So there's no nutrients. So people don't get the nutrients that they need, and they're still hungry. And that's why they are going out for, you know, snacks and this and that and the other thing, because they can't get the nutrients out of the fast food that's being sold to us. And in addition to that, the fast food creates an acid condition within the body and within the blood, and bacteria and viruses thrive in an acid condition, kind of like Alien. And you have to work at, you know, raising the pH of your blood to an alkaline condition, which they can't grow in. So if your blood is naturally, if you're keeping it at an alkaline position, either by taking alkaline supplements, you can do that, or by using food itself as a way of adjusting your pH, then you can be disease-free and not be subject to viruses and bacteria and all the things that people who aren't aware of that are subject to.
But, you know, even that particular modality is not, I don't think there's enough research been done in it, because Walt Silva, who's my partner in my science group, he went through a whole thing about why you need to have, no, he wasn't talking pH, he was talking antioxidants.
He said,
if you have too much antioxidants, you eventually start taking the oxygen out of the blood, out of your body.
Wow.
You know, and it's like every time we start to muck around with anything healing, there's always something else.
Oh, right, right. It's a domino effect.
Yeah, and my opinion is get rid of the microwave. Get shungite. You know,
yeah.
We're awakening. We will finally at some point understand all the dangers. We're not taking down your system. We would be out of business if we were taking down your system. What we're doing is we're improving your system, because when the shungite's involved in anything, we've proven this on electric motors. We've done tests. He had a grinder, and he was able to control the load on the motor. So he starts doing readings on what kind of electricity is being used based on the load. And he got that information, and then he put an S4 sticker on it. And the decrease in electricity was 20%. One will give you 20%. Then he did a second one, and it went up to, I think it was 23, 24%. He put a third one on it, and the highest we've ever seen is 30%. Efficiency. Which means if you've got a shungite magnet on your refrigerator, you're going to save 20% on your electric bill.
Ooh, that's very practical.
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm not out for saving you money. I'm out for you getting this thing, and I'm telling you, I can also save you money. People that are using them keep coming back and saying yes. Not only do you save money, but something happens in the refrigerator and your food is better. It lasts longer. Oh yeah, magnets. I mean, it's just stick it on the refrigerator, forget about it. Now people give me flack. When I started out on this, the refrigerator was the number one puller of electricity. As a device, you know, you turn it on, it's going to pull more electricity than, you know, anything around it. But now with the more efficient refrigerators, you don't seem to have as much of a problem with the energy use, you know. But still, people, it may not be pulling as much as your clothes dryer, but it's on 24/7. You know, it's on 24/7. It's
true.
The biggest draw.
That's right.
And then you start sticking these things on other things like air conditioner units, and you're going to get – every time you add shungite to an electric device – I'm not talking Wi-Fi here. I'm talking electric. You're going to have a more efficient machine, because they wire it so the field goes a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
We call it counterclockwise. You know, they could have easily wired it the other way and not had this problem.
Oh.
Well, all things is conspiracy. I think it was they didn't know what they were doing.
But either way, it's no good.
Right. So what we do is we, with the shungite stickers, when the signal comes into your phone, it hits the field of the shungite, and boom, all of a sudden, you got a situation where that Wi-Fi that was killing you is no longer killing you. It's biocompatible. It's rotating in the same direction your body is. And it's also more efficient because it follows natural rotation and natural law. If we were wrong about what we think the science is, we wouldn't be getting these electric readings that are just astounding. And that's been repeated and repeated and repeated.
Wow.
We had some restaurant with 3 walk-in refrigerators, and his bills were like $4,000 a month. And he was saving over $1,000 a month.
Wow. Well, that's no small savings.
No. Well, you know, 20% off your electric bill for the average person is important.
Absolutely.
Now,
well,
you
until we are blessed with being released from the matrix hold on free energy, which has been kept under wraps for, you know, so many decades that we've lost count. But of course, the corporations are never going to release them, so I don't know how that's going to come about, but I think it will.
Well, we've got to have a total awakening. I mean,
it has
you know about the secret space program.
Yes, the breakaway, yeah. And the breakaway civilization and the secret space program. Yes,
it's all there. The technology's all there. And
well, it's hundreds of years more advanced than anything we see, and NASA is just a front to. But for several reasons. One is to keep us from seeing anything we're not supposed to see, and it's also designed to create the illusion that we're still in the Dark Ages, having rockets with thousands of gallons of fuel blowing out the bottom that fly, you know, up like a little rockets do, and then it loses a stage and it loses another stage. Well, that's ancient technology compared to what they have. You know, with anti-gravity and, you know, all kinds of things that anything you can imagine is possible. So, and that's all being done in secret.
I know, and it's like, why are you doing it to us? Well, it's not that they're doing it to us. They're also doing it to the people that are up there. Do you remember in the 60s? That there were millions of people, or I don't know millions, but it was hundreds of thousands that were being taken, disappearing.
Oh, yeah.
There were the scientists and stuff. It started, the first time I was aware of it was from Britain. That all of a sudden somebody over in Britain went, wait a minute, all these people are disappearing. And then some more investigation, and now it's known fact that hundreds of thousands of people disappeared during that time frame. Where'd they go? Well, mm-hmm. They went up into the secret space program.
Yep. You
know, but they don't know the full implications of what's happened on Earth. You know, it's just insane. It's like those poor people are probably worse off than we are.
Yeah.
They may have all this stuff, but, you know, they're not even connected to their mother planet.
Mm-hmm. And who knows how many people are being sent to parallel timelines and alternate timelines and so on and so forth, and not coming back. Anything is possible with that as well.
It's a much different reality than the vast majority of the planet understands, but they've showed us all these things in the movies. You know, they keep telling us what they got.
Right. I guess they kind of have to. It's some kind of a rule or law that they have to tell us. And so they make movies about it, and that's their way of telling us. And we think it's just a movie, but they're actually getting our consent because nobody considers that that's the truth except people who are awake and realize that, gee, this is like a... The Matrix trilogy, it's like a documentary.
Yeah, you know? It's freaky.
It's like National Geographic would have put a special out or something. And a lot of science fiction is like that. There was one with the Marvel does a lot of those. There are ways to sneak information in to let the people know what's going on. And make it a fun movie that, you know, can be watched on many levels. But there was one, Captain America Winter Soldier, that portrayed the Nazi infiltration into high places. And, of course, that is a reality that most people are aware of through Project Paperclip, and that the CIA wiped out their histories and placed these people in high positions, and Wernher von Braun was one of those people, and he ran NASA for decades, and he said the last thing that they're going to do is have an artificial space war. So we know some things, some of the things that they have on the drawing boards, but not all of them by any means.
Well, we do have shungite.
We have shungite, right.
You know,
maybe we can use
that.
Like, have you checked out the effectiveness of shungite for telepathy?
Well, telepathy, we've already got it. I mean, it's just sort of accepting that you can.
Well,
I mean,
right.
That, to me, telepathy is not, you know, not high on my well, because I do it.
Right.
I did it. I did it. I was a very, very well-trained telepath. But you can't go through life reading people's minds.
Oh, no. Who'd want to?
Life thinking you're deceived.
That'd be very boring.
Well, they tell you one thing. One thing's coming out of their mouth and something's in their head. It's different.
Yep.
You know, and you become very distrustful of people.
Oh, you're talking about politicians now.
I'm talking about people, you know, around us. They're not open. They're not free. They don't know who they are.
Yes, exactly.
So so there's always some, they're saying one thing, but there's something else going on in their head.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And it's extremely frustrating, you know, as a telepath to see the breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like what they're saying to me is a programmed response.
Yes, yes.
You know, but what's in their heads, I mean, people can't even, if you just get into your own head, you're going to be astounded at how wonderful you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful thing to do.
But they don't let us get there.
Yeah.
No?
But with all the conditioning and the belief systems and the mind control that's going on everywhere, it's difficult for most of the populace to get a grasp on what is real, because we've accepted what's given to us by experts or by on television or in the newspapers or whatever as being gospel, because that's just the way it is. You know, somebody says it in the newspaper, oh yeah, that's true, that's absolutely true. But if somebody else tells you something, that there's a good friend of yours and they're saying something different, to say, oh, that you must be crazy.
Yeah, and somebody like me, who most people think are crazy, even if they're trying to be your friend. See, it's a problem when you really like somebody, but they seem to be crazy.
Right. Well, those are the people I like to hang out with.
Well, you know, in my case, it's like, yes, I know you think I'm crazy, but why am I so damn successful?
There you go.
You know, if I'm crazy, why am I so successful? It's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, and the people around me, we're just as crazy. You're successful. You know, there's a whole bunch of crazy people out there that are very successful in their own personal lives, and they're happy with themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And they don't think like everybody else thinks, and they don't have the same thoughts, and they aren't, funneling themselves into church lines and, you know, getting into political arguments and things like that. But, people have to learn how to think for themselves, and you have to separate what is yours and what isn't yours, and put that back on the other person's sidewalk.
Well, I think the people that talk to themselves are the ones that are sane.
Insane.
You know, growing up, don't talk to yourself. You know, they think you're crazy.
Oh, right.
You know that thing? It's
yeah.
Like they told us we were crazy to talk to ourselves. How the hell are we going to know who we are if we don't talk to ourselves?
Right. Right. Well, one man said something about me talking to myself one day, and he said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, that's where I get my best advice. I thought that was pretty clever.
It knows you the best.
So I got a little validation from him. But there's a new film out, like of Westworld, and these cyborgs that are used to entertain the guests, they are hearing thoughts that are coming from somebody else's voice. And as the first season progresses, you find out that ultimately it's a path that leads home, that starts out to be the person who designed them it's their voice, and then it changes and alters, and eventually it ends up to being their voice, their own voice in their head. So they realize that they are the source of the second the second set of opinions, or the, you know, the voice in the head. It's a really interesting series. I love it. I think it was one of the best ones that was made recently by HBO.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I just haven't been in a situation to watch it, basically. Mm. It sounds fascinating.
It really is. Anthony Hopkins outdoes himself with his acting. And mind you, he is God in his own universe, because he says we created every blade of grass and every person being that's here. And basically, and it's a huge, a huge sprawling place with several different themes in the park. So I've never seen anything done so realistically and so well written, and with such good music. It just doesn't let you down. It just keeps you throwing metaphors at you and reflections of your own life with AI. And it's really an excellent series. I recommend it.
Well, the if I've done anything that, or been able to present something, it's the rules of cosmic reality that I was shown over a couple, 3 decades. And the first one is reality is what you think it is. Mm-hmm. The second one is majority wins. But that does not mean majority numbers-wise. It means majority of who's focused, how much energy is creating that reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the third rule is anybody that's in control of a given reality keeps everybody else from knowing rules 1 and 2. And that's basically what they're doing. They're trying to maintain their control over reality, the matrix reality, mm-hmm. you know, and the rest of us are going like, nah, I don't like that reality. I'm going to make another one, whether we know we're doing it or not, because you begin to open up your brain and you begin to say, well, maybe I just should pay more attention to the fact that the government may be lying to me.
Right.
You know,
right.
Oh, maybe I should pay attention to the fact that the banks seem to be, you know, really evil.
Yes.
So as you wake up and your mind starts expanding, you're going to look for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, go hide in some under a rock.
Even that's almost impossible, because it's almost impossible to live off the grid. You can't really do it. They find you eventually, and you're charged for something, whether it's water or air or whatever. And so you can't really live off the grid unless you're maybe in another country where that kind of thing is possible.
And you know something, that when I'm thinking in terms of awakening people, I'm more concerned about waking up the people that have been doing all this evil. Because I don't believe that humanity is basically an evil thing.
No, not
and
at
I
all.
I think people do things for a lot of reasons that if they understood the implications, they wouldn't. And some of them who would still do it because they're scared or their families or anything like that, the more people that step up and say, wait a minute, you know. But it starts with talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like there will almost have to be some kind of massive consciousness-changing event that will have the possibility of awakening everyone. And one of my guests, PMH Atwater, writes about this in her near-death experience books, and she felt that just like when you have a near-death experience and you leave your body, that it was put. There was the potential for all of humanity to go through something very similar, where things were experiencing the same kind of chaotic movement that a person who has a near-death experience has. And so she had a hypothesis that society in general was headed for an either an out-of-body or a near-death experience. So, and since it's a collective, that would be doable. But who knows?
That's an interesting proposition.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that we're in the proton belt and we're going to change. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every 26,000 years. Same thing. You know, it's, and people, you know, I mean, it's like, how lucky are we that we're here for 26,000 change? You know, we're being zapped, but, you know, and this is the interesting thing. We are, okay, the reason that we're in the proton belt is the proton belt is really being expelled from the dark hole that's in the middle of the galaxy. Every galaxy has a dark hole.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we think in terms of it sucking in all this energy, light energy and everything else. But the reality is it's also putting out different types of energies.
Mm-hmm.
And those energies have created the proton belt. So we're looking right down the barrel and the sun is just hitting us with a tremendous amount of these, the proton belt. Well, what's the proton belt? Well, it's looking like it's full of carbon.
Hmm.
That these energy particles are really carbon. They're doing, I forget, Walt has it down. Walt tells me these stories. It's some scientists that have been able to determine that this increase in stuff that's in interstellar matter is basically carbon. And of course, what's shungite? It's carbon. What's the fullerene? Well, you get the fullerene when you burn carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's out there saying, oh my gosh, the fullerene is, you know, so, you know, and why didn't we know about it before? Because they're realizing it might be the most plentiful molecule in the universe.
Huh.
It's the building block of everything.
Well, now, how do they make C60?
Well, C60 is basically, I'll give you it in something you can see, okay? You take a rod of carbon and then you heat it until it becomes plasma. And just at the instance that it's that hot, it throws off all these fullerenes.
Oh, okay. And that's how it works on the nanotechnological scale in the quantum field.
I mean, I'm sure they're doing, I mean, I'm just giving you a picture, the picture that I have explaining how it happens.
I like that.
Yeah, because what they're saying is that they're detecting a lot of fullerenes in interstellar space, and that they're saying it's coming from carbon suns that are burping a lot of these things.
Huh, interesting.
But like I say, I think it's black. I think they're the basic. I actually think that the galaxy, the universe, is in the shape of a fullerene. That's what I think.
That it's what?
It's in the shape of a fullerene.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that happens in this galaxy from the parallel dimensions, not galaxy, universe, from the parallel dimensions and different timelines, all of that, if you stand back and you look at what's happening inside the hugest Jagunda C60, which looks like a soccer ball,
mm-hmm.
it's going to answer all these questions.
Well, it certainly seems like a good possibility, and Buckminster Fuller was certainly behind that whole geometry, right?
Buckminster Fuller is someday going to be like Tesla. You know, Tesla was an unknown factor for forever and ever,
right?
And then suddenly became popular. Buckminster Fuller had such a grasp of so much of the details. He was able to clearly see Earth as a spaceship. Spaceship Earth.
Yes. I've seen it that way once in a while.
Well, it is. You know, and it's kind of preposterous because you watch all these space movies and they're in these ironclad vehicles and
right.
they're traveling through, and we're on the top of a planet that it's got a little bit of an atmosphere going millions of miles through the galaxy.
Right. Right. It's pretty exciting. It's an exciting adventure.
But we're on a spaceship. So why in the hell would you break your spaceship?
Right. As it's not very smart, is it?
I just think these people are being, you know, like, stupid. And just wake up.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, oh, my God, what have I been doing? We don't care that you – we're not going to take you and put you someplace and – because you're us. We're you. It could have been me. It could have been you.
Yeah.
You know, they got caught into it.
Right.
You know, just wake up. We're here to grab you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Have faith. You know, we're getting to that. Well, I think we've passed the 100th monkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most likely we have. I think that you're right, because it feels like something has tilted. And speaking of tilting, we've tilted into the last minute or two of the show. And it went so fast that I didn't realize that we were just right at the end. Well, it's always that way when we talk.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
That's a good show. We didn't talk much on Shungite, but, you know, we go to my YouTube station, Cosmic Reality Shungite, and you're going to see videos that we've done answering the questions that most people have. And if you go over to Cosmic Reality YouTube station, you're going to find shows. We've got a show that's called The Shungite Show. It's Tuesdays at noontime, Eastern
time.
Okay,
good.
And so you can learn a lot just listening to those.
Wonderful. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for coming back and being on the show again. And I look forward to our next one in the near future.
I hope so. I just am so glad that we've gotten ourselves back together just to talk.
Yeah, I really am too.
Change the collective.
It feels like the right thing to do.
Yes, sir.
All righty. You take care, and I guess that's a wrap.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.